That's big time.
Minus 15.
Respect all, fear none.
Oh, did he belt that one?
Intensity is not a perfume.
It was a no doubter.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
We are up in the bird's nest here at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. I'm Brendan Mortensen alongside Matt Bonaparte. Bones, I wouldn't exactly call it a light rain here at the ballpark.
No, it's raining.
It's raining.
It's coming down at the ballpark. And, you know, I had my trusty umbrella that got me in today, so you got to thank the umbrella as always.
Have to thank the umbrella.
But, yeah, it's coming down. The tarp is out. I'm sure Nicole Sherry's got some tricks up her sleeve. She is the greatest groundskeeper in the game.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens, but Mother Nature does not want this game to happen.
Maybe baseball today.
I would be shocked if baseball today.
It's not looking great. It is a very heavy rain, but the Orioles are able to get in the first two games of the series against the Royals. So at the very least, we have five games that we can talk about, which is not a whole lot for a sample size, which is kind of what I wanted to talk about on this show here, which is what can you really take from the first five games of the season? The Orioles are 3-2. You have seen some quality offensive starts. You've seen a lot of good defense, especially from guys like Ryan Mountcastle. You've seen a lot of good starting pitching. All of that stuff is pretty volatile. And is there anything that we can point to through the first five games of the season to say, hey, that looks like a trend that might continue?
Yeah, I think there are things.
I would sure hope so, or else we do not have a show today.
Well, Luckily, we do.
I want to start with Colton Cowser, because if you have been on the artist formerly known as Twitter.com, you have seen a kerfuffle about Colton Cowser's playing time thus far. He got one start yesterday. Played well. Two hits. Double. Down the line.
Good defense.
It was what we call a baseball gods double.
Just a little corkscrew.
Little cool grounder shot down the third baseline.
It was a spinning ball down the third baseline. Somehow it stayed fair.
It shows up the same on a box score as a double and a gap. So Colton Cowser's going to take it with that RBI. There has been a lot of concern and questions about Colton Cowser's playing time thus far. And I just want to talk about what his role is more than likely going to look like. Because I understand after a huge spring that fans wanted to see Colton Cowser in the lineup. I want to see Colton Cowser in the lineup. He's a top 20 prospect in baseball. He has five tool potential. He had an excellent spring. Again, he has looked good in his smaller sample size thus far to start the 2024 season. However, I've seen a lot of fans say that Brandon Hyde has a personal vendetta against Colton Cowser, that Cowser is never going to play, that he should be starting over somebody like Austin Hayes. And I want to address the fact that Colton Cowser is the fourth outfielder on this team. That is what that job was always for, that competition. Austin Hayes, Cedric Mullins, and Anthony Santander is the set outfield for this season. Until one of those guys really, really struggles and proves otherwise, those are the three guys that are going to be your starting outfielders. They have all been here for 7-plus years. Colton Cowser, yes, didn't start the first four games of the season. He started the fifth. We are going to see Cowser when one of those guys needs a rest. We're going to see him occasionally at designated hitter. But there are arguments to start benching guys like Austin Hayes and Cedric Mullins in favor of Colton Cowser just because they've had a slow start to the season. This is barely the start to the season. We're talking about five games.
Yeah.
Austin Hayes was an all-star last year with a 769 OPS after injuries held him back in the second half of the year. But he was an all-star in the first half. Had one of the best batting averages in the American League. He's an excellent defender in left field. His splits aren't that dramatic. He's better against left-handed pitching, but he still has a 735 OPS against righties. He doesn't have dramatic righty-lefty splits. Cedric Mullins was an all-star a few years ago. 721 OPS the last two seasons. Plays an elite defensive center field. Can steal 30-plus bases. Still, I think, has 20-plus home run in a season potential. Anthony Santander had 70 extra base hits last year. Ryan O'Hurden had an OPS over 800. There's not a solid argument you can make to say that Colton Cowser should be starting over those guys right now, consistently.
I think people also take the human element out of the game a lot of the time.
Sure.
You mentioned that, you know, the three guys that start in the Orioles outfield are all veterans and they've been here a long time. That means something.
Yeah.
You know, and to have three guys who are tight-knit and have been playing the outfield together for a long time is a valuable thing. And Walkhauser is an incredibly talented player. There's no doubt about that. And he played well last night in the lineup. It doesn't mean that just because he's projected to be a perennial all-star, one of the best players in the game, that he should show up and just take somebody's spot. Like you said as well, this was the fourth outfielder spot that he was working for, and he won it, and now he's the fourth outfielder.
Right.
He'll come in when a guy needs a day off, or if somebody gets hurt, he'll play. And it's a great fourth outfielder to have if you're the Orioles. But at the same time, he's a rookie. This is his first potentially full season in the MLB, okay? So there might be, you know, some jitters on his end, too. And while I'm sure he'd love to play every day, I bet you he'll benefit from playing behind these guys for a full year. And next year or the year after that, if a spot opens up, he'll take it. And he'll be prepared because he sat behind these guys for a full season.
Dwayne on Facebook saying, Hayes is no all-star. Dwayne, I do regret to inform you that Austin Hayes was literally an all-star the last time there was an all-star game. Austin Hayes is a very, very good baseball player. And I think Colton Cowser is a good baseball player and has the potential to be a great baseball player. But again, to say that Colton Cowser isn't getting treated like Adley Rutschman or Gunnar Henderson is a correct thing to say. Those two were the number one prospects in all of baseball.
Yeah.
They were going to get
it's a different story.
And get everyday reps. But I've also seen arguments that, well, they're not even treating Colton Cowser like Jordan Westbrook last year, where Jordan Westbrook got more consistent playing time. But you need context with that. There's a very simple explanation that Jordan Westbrook came up as a right-handed hitter to platoon with Adam Frazier, who has a career
it's
batting
a totally
average
different situation
against left-handed pitching of about 190.
Yeah.
Very clear opportunity for Jordan Westbrook to be able to platoon with Adam Frazier at the second base spot. And Jordan Westbrook played well, so he was able to get some more reps at second base, at third base, wherever Brandon Hyde needed him. But last year, Jordan Westbrook was a platoon type of guy. And right now, he is getting everyday opportunities because he has earned that. I'm not going to say that Colton Cowser isn't going to end up platooning with somebody at some point this season. If he continues to play well, he is going to get in the lineup. But right now, the priority is not making sure that you develop Colton Cowser, get him everyday at bats at the big league level, and see what you have in this guy. As much as you would like to do that, there's not a spot for him to start every day right now, which is a good thing because you're trying to win as many baseball games as possible. And Colton Cowser coming off the bench and occasionally getting a start like he did last night is helping you to win baseball games. I know the Orioles didn't win last night. Colton Cowser was not the reason why. Colton Cowser played well. And if he continues to play well, he's going to get more opportunities. But to come out and say that guys like Austin Hayes or Cedric Mullins should hit the bench every day for Colton Cowser right now
is blasphemous.
It's a little ridiculous. I love Colton Cowser. This is not an anti-Colton Cowser take. I think he's going to be an excellent baseball player. But let's pump the brakes on saying bench your all-star in Austin Hayes last year because he struggled for the first four games of the season.
I'm glad you got that off your chest.
Thank you. I needed to
get
that off my chest.
Seems like you need an exhale or something like that, but you've been carrying that around for a few days. I'm glad you got rid of it.
And again, I am just as excited as Orioles fans to see a top 20 prospect in the game continue to improve in the way that he has. Colton Cowser struggled in 2023. It's no secret. And he looks like a different player right now. He was excellent in the spring, and he has taken some great at-bats in his opportunities thus far. If he continues to play well, he's going to get more opportunities. And even as we stand, as the fourth outfielder, Colton Cowser is going to start twice a week. He's going to be in there.
Yeah.
So let's take a deep breath on Colton Cowser. He's going to get playing time. It's going
to
be
fine. Yeah, I was about to say, it's also been five games.
It's been five games.
You know, he'll play.
He's
not on the team because he's not going to play.
Pinch hit in a few.
Yeah.
He's in there.
And he did play really well last night.
He's playing the games. All right. Now that that is out of the way. But to be fair, that does go along with what I wanted to talk about here of what we have learned so far. And one of the things we have learned is that Colton Cowser is probably not going to start every day right away. He is the fourth outfielder, which is the role that we thought was up for grabs in spring training.
Yeah.
Another big takeaway for me for the first four or five games of the season here, Gunnar Henderson is not chasing. He is being much more decisive in the strike zone, which is massive. We talked before the season about, you know, who we thought would lead the team in OPS. And we both said Adley Rutschman, because Adley Rutschman's walks really, really set him apart from the rest of the guys on this team. Gunnar Henderson was at an 814 OPS last year, but it was because of his batting average, of his slugging percentage. Adley Rutschman had 92 walks, and Gunnar was next with 56. But at least to start the season right now, Gunnar Henderson seems like he has really focused on his plate discipline. Through the first four games of the season, so not counting the game last night, Gunnar was swinging at 20% of balls outside the strike zone. Last year, that number was at 29%.
Wow.
So he's cut it down by nearly 10% through the first four games there. He's swinging at just as many balls in the strike zone, so he's still trying to do damage when the ball is somewhere
and
he can do damage with. His overall swing percentage was down by about 8% going into last night's game. The walk rate is not going to be 15% like it is right now. But even an increase to 12, 13% rather than last year's 9% would be huge for Gunnar.
Yeah. And you mentioned Adley's walks last year were pretty pivotal
right.
For the team. And if Gunnar can add that to his game, he's that much more valuable, you know, building on an unanimous Rookie of the Year season. Plate appearances are more an approach to an at-bat is something that I look at pretty with a magnifying scope glass.
Magnifying scope glass, certainly.
Magnifying scope glass.
Sure.
Early in the season. I think it's important. That's something you can actually look at and make some takeaways as to what might have changed going into this year. And across baseball, that changes every year for a lot of players. Some players stay the same. Others make drastic changes to their game. And if Gunnar can continue to not chase pitches out of the zone, and like you said, 15% walk percentage is a little bit high, and that's going to come down just because of, you know, progression to the mean and whatnot. But if he can add that to his game and become that much more better or that much better at the plate, I think he can be exponentially better as a hitter.
Yeah, and just the fact that he's the leadoff hitter right now, right? I mean, if Gunnar Henderson is going to be leading off for you, he makes sense from a perspective of if you're looking at maybe a more old school type of leadoff hitter, Gunnar doesn't fit that exactly because he has a ton of power and probably on a lot of other teams, he's batting second or third right now, but you have Adley Rutschman batting second because he gets on base so much. Gunnar Henderson, as a leadoff hitter, you would like him to take more walks because you want a guy with a ton of speed like Gunnar. I know he didn't steal a ton of bases last year, but
he has that potential.
He has that potential, and you want a guy with a lot of speed to be on base.
And that's why he's a leadoff hitter.
Right.
Yeah.
So as the leadoff hitter, would like to see that walk percentage again. It's at 14% right now. If that stays somewhere around 12%, just a little bit of an increase from last year, if he continues to lay off balls outside of the strike zone, that's a big development for somebody in their second year.
And going into last night, this was something I was looking at across the team. Going into last night's game, the Orioles were ninth in the majors in terms of pitches per at-bat, which is a stat I've been looking at more this year than I think I ever have.
Yeah.
They were averaging about four pitches per AB, which puts them ninth in the league. I mean, this is something that I think could be pivotal again. Mountcastle led the team 4.5 pitches per at-bat. Mullins right behind him just above four. I think you'll see Adley skyrocket in that category as the year goes on. But if the Orioles can become a team that instead of just trying to go up and hit home runs or whatnot, but work good at bats and try and find good pitches and hit the pitches you want to hit instead of what the pitcher wants you to hit, you can be, this offense can be nuclear.
Yeah.
So I think that's something really to keep an eye on is the plate discipline for this team. And thus far, it's been very good.
This team profiles as more of a doubles in the gap type
yeah,
of team.
Yeah, I agree.
Than a we're going to hit a ton of home runs type of team. Gunnar Henderson and Anthony Santander and Ryan Mountcastle, I think you could put in this conversation as well. I think those are three guys that have 25-plus home run potential.
I think they all have 30 home run potential.
Nobody on this team has 40-plus home run potential. That's really hard to do.
Hope somebody just heard you now that you're putting that on the dartboard.
It's hard to do. Somebody, I'd be ashamed if somebody did it. I think three of those guys have 25, 30 plus home run potential. But you got a lot of these guys with 30 plus double potential.
Yes.
I mean, Adley, Mountcastle, I'd put Westberg in that category. Sure. Gunner, Hayes, Mullins, Santander.
Almost
like,
the
all
whole
those
line.
Guys,
yeah.
I think, have the potential to hit 30 plus doubles.
Yeah,
in
a I agree.
Season. I think that's how this team profiles. And again, like you said, if they're not chasing, if they're able to do a lot of damage, then maybe it's not 30 plus home runs for a lot of these guys, but they could be shopping at the Gap a whole bunch. My next big takeaway here, again, not that he is going to go out every time and go six innings, one hit, one earned, 11 Ks, but Corbin Burnes is spinning it right now. And I mean that very literally. It might just be a deviation because the ball was feeling good out of his hand for the first game and he was just spinning it great and whatever. Every single one of Corbin Burnes' pitches from his first start of the 2024 season had at least 100 more revolutions per minute than it did on average in 2023, outside of, I think, just one pitch. His cutter, 100 more revolutions per minute. His curveball and his sinker, 200 more revolutions per minute. His slider, 100 more revolutions per minute. Every single one of his pitches had more vertical movement than it did on average last year. Corbin Burnes is spinning the baseball right now.
He's the guy we thought he was.
Right.
So that's cool. But yeah, I mean, this is crazy. I mean, there probably has something to do with it being opening day.
Yeah.
And, you know, he probably was psyched up for that, but you're right. I mean, it was almost like he was pitching pre-sticky stuff ban. Like the guy, he could do whatever he wanted with the baseball. And when he had a 2-strike count, I was so confident he was striking the guy out. He was incredible in that start. And if they can get half of what he gave in that start, every start, I think they'll be fine because he was tremendous in that game.
And one of the biggest things that we heard in spring training about Corbin Burnes is that he was really trying to find more consistency with his curveball. He threw 20 curveballs in that first game. They had a 75% whiff rate.
That's crazy.
You know how many batters made contact?
Two.
Not a one.
Wow.
Nobody
That's wild.
Made contact on Corbin Burnes' curveball in the first game of the season. Again, it could just be opening day. The Angels do not have an outstanding lineup outside of Mike Trout. But if Corbin Burnes keeps spinning the baseball with the efficiency that he did on opening day, whew, look out.
Yeah, I mean, he's the ace. He's fantastic. And so is Grayson, and we'll get to that. But Corbin was tremendous. And it was every pitch you wanted to see. The curveball was working, like you said. The sinker, the cutter, everything was working for the guy.
Yeah.
And he went out there and gave the performance Orioles fans were waiting for. And again, like, that will be game-changing for this team. For a team that just won 101 games, you add a guy like that, everything changes.
Yeah, he's a bona fide ace. Yeah. And he showed that out on opening day. Again, it's hard to say what the numbers mean for Burnes' 2024 season, but if those spin rates continue, you can expect very good numbers.
Yeah.
You mentioned Grayson Rodriguez. Let's talk about Grayson Rodriguez. His changeup was ridiculous. I mean, Aaron Hicks wanted to go home in that game. He made Aaron Hicks, who is a very good hitter. I mean, Aaron Hicks is one of the most disciplined hitters in this league. Grayson Rodriguez's changeup made Aaron Hicks look absolutely silly at the plate. He threw that changeup 23 times with a 60% whiff rate. Batters did not have a hit off of it, and four of the 23 changeups went for strikeouts.
Yeah, he was tremendous.
He was outstanding.
The changeup was pretty just foul. I mean, he
felt mean.
Yeah, it did.
It felt like bullying.
But I love when Grayson's on the mound because that's the swagger he has, is that he's going to dominate it.
Yeah.
He's going to dominate the lineup.
He might have
and he's gonna
one
let
of the
you know.
Scarier pitching faces.
I think baseball. So. You know, when he walks off the mound, he just starts screaming like a madman.
That's a mean mug.
Yeah, like I love watching that guy pitch. It's just a great time.
Yeah.
The fastball was working. The changeup was working. Did you notice if he threw the two-seamer that he was working on?
So StatCast did not have him at a two-seamer.
Okay.
However, Ben McDonald and Jim Palmer watching him throw the fastball.
I trust those two guys.
That's a two-seamer. So I'm going to go with Jim and Ben on that one. And it did look, from watching him, that it did look like the fastball was going from left to right. It was going
arm side.
Arm side into right-handers. So it did look like a two-seam fastball. I'm going to go with Ben and Jim on that. StatCast might just be confused that he throws a new pitch.
Now, was that every fastball you noticed, or was it?
No, it was not.
Okay, so he was mixing it in there.
He was still pumping. If it was the two-seam fastball, then he threw it on the first pitch of the game, and he threw it about 97 miles an hour.
Wow.
Which is still a very fast fastball.
Yeah.
So if it was two different fastballs from Grayson Rodriguez, then the movements did look different.
Okay.
So I think it was.
Good to hear.
Grayson Rodriguez's changeup, though, off of that, is ridiculous. StatCast didn't have him at a slider last year, which was this time out, which was a good pitch for him last year. He threw it 14% of the time. It was effective. And his fastball was better as well. As we just mentioned, possibly throwing the four-seam and the two-seam there. Hitters just had two hits on 39 fastballs. Guys hit 342 off of his fastball last year.
Wow.
So if he can get that number down, the changeup becomes all that more effective. And Grayson Rodriguez becomes a really, really effective pitcher. We talked with Grayson at spring training, and his best start of 2023 was a start against the Tampa Bay Rays, in which he threw about 70% fastballs, which even for a fastball dominant pitcher, that is a lot of fastballs. Corbin Burnes is a cutter-dominant pitcher, and he throws the cutter about 50% of the time. So 70% fastballs is that's another level.
But
of
if you can beat
dominant.
A team that way, that's nuts.
Exactly.
Like, and if your fastball is that good that you can go out and beat a team throwing the fastball 70% of the time,
right.
Either they don't belong in the major leagues or you're dominant.
Right. I mean, and Grayson said when I asked him, like, is 70% fastballs something that you want to continue? And he was like, yeah, yeah. I think it
I
works.
Remember him saying that. You and I were both like, wow.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be 70%. That seems like a lot. He threw the fastball 46% of the time, according to StatCast in this game. Used the changeup a little bit more at 27% of the time. So I am interested to see how that split goes for the rest of the season.
I think he might be the player I'm most excited to watch coming back this year.
Sure.
Obviously, Gunnar's, you know, going to have a crazy year after Rookie of the Year, and so many other players are exciting coming back into this season with Couser coming up, Adley being Adley. But Grayson, he almost gets lost in the shuffle, but you have a potential, you know, Cy Young candidate one day on your hands with this guy in terms of the level of talent that he has and could get to. He's so good.
Yeah.
And with a full season after he came back from his minor league stint in July last year and was dominant, I cannot wait to see what he does in his second start and what he does going forward, because he is so freaking good. Yeah. And he could be one of the best pitchers in the AL soon.
And again, we're talking about one start from Corbin Burnes. We're talking about one start from Grayson
Rodriguez.
But what
we saw was so good.
But that's why we're trying to pick these smaller things out, right? Yeah. We're not taking the fact that they combined for 12 innings and 20 strikeouts and one walk and saying that they're the best 1-2 punch in the American League. They're two really good pitchers.
Could be.
But being able to look at what Grayson did in his first start of the season and say, okay, the pitch mix was a little bit different. He was a little less on the fastball than we are used to seeing the dominant Grayson Rodriguez, and he was a little heavier on the changeup, which is something that was really his calling card in the minor leagues. When you were talking about Grayson coming up through the Orioles system, it was he has an overwhelmingly good fastball at 98, 99, but what makes him really effective is that he possibly has the best changeup in minor league baseball. That was the book on Grayson Rodriguez. So the fact that we saw him in his first start throw his changeup 27% of the time compared to, on average, 22% of the time last season, I think that's a big development. Because if he's able to trust that changeup a little bit more, a pitch that was maybe his best pitch in the minor leagues because it works so effectively off the fastball, Grayson's a different pitcher. And he is more like the pitcher that we saw in the second half of the season in 2023, and maybe even better. So, yeah, it's one start. We're not going to look at the numbers exactly, but a pitch mix like that and the fact that he was able to command the changeup as well as he did, that's still a big development, even though it's just one start and it's a tiny sample size.
But I also think that a pitcher's first start is something you can look at and make, you know, have takeaways from. Because, a pitcher's first start, you know, they've been working, you know, they had all the time in the world to plan for it. And the strategy was there and whatnot. So I think that you can look at that and make takeaways about what kind of pitcher they could be this season. Not to say it's definitive, but I'm confident that Grayson Rodriguez is going to bring it this year, because in that first start, that's exactly what he did. Now he could struggle, whatever, but I'm pretty confident he's going to be that guy.
Yeah, and a comment on YouTube saying, I enjoyed hearing Grayson say he wants to learn to throw fewer pitches per batters. That's huge as well, because Grayson Rodriguez in that start, one walk.
Yeah.
What was arguably his biggest issue in 2023, especially at the first half of the season, it wasn't putting the ball in the strike zone. He finishes the year with just over 3 walks per 9, which isn't terrible, but towards the first half of the season, he was walking everybody.
Yeah.
And to come out and have one walk shows that he trusts his stuff in the strike zone more to get hitters out. I think Aaron Hicks is a really prime example of what Grayson Rodriguez can do, because Aaron Hicks is not going to chase balls out of the strike zone. Aaron Hicks is a guy with outstanding plate discipline. Over his career, he has shown that he does not chase. And he kind of falls, not exactly the Juan Soto category of if Juan Soto doesn't swing, then it's not a strike. But Aaron Hicks doesn't swing at bad pitches. And what Grayson Rodriguez was able to do to Aaron Hicks in that game with his pitch mix, I think is a really good example of what Grayson can do. He was beating him with the fastball and changeup, but he was doing it in the strike zone because his stuff is good enough to do that.
Yeah, and obviously confidence is a huge factor, and I think Grayson has it coming out the ears. So I'm pretty excited to see what he does this season.
The starting pitchers have looked outstanding. Tyler Wells was great as well. Dean Kramer put in a solid start. Cole Irvin struggled a little bit yesterday.
His curveball looked really good, though.
Curveball looked great, and he still kept you in the game.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the defense, though.
Woohoo!
The defense has been really, really great. Outside of just two weird errors from Ramon Urias and Gunnar Henderson that were very uncharacteristic on balls that weren't terribly difficult, and it was just two guys who booted it, whatever, they're great defenders, but I mean, Ryan Mountcastle at first base.
Mountcastle's been a revelation. Been outstanding. I mean, that was ridiculous. Last night he did it, and he did it the night before as well.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy has been a vacuum cleaner at first base.
Yep.
The whole team has been pretty darn good defensively.
The
Santander has been great. That diving play he had, he made a nice running catch. He's covering all the ground he needs to cover in right field. Obviously, Mullins and Hayes are going to get the job done. Couser was really good in the outfield last night, covered a lot of ground. How about Adley behind the plate, that sliding catch in foul territory? That was about as good of a play as you're going to see from any catcher at any time. I mean, that was a fantastic effort. And Gunnar last night made a really nice play towards the end of the game, a really nice pick, and he's going to do that all season long. There's nobody I like watching more warm up than Gunnar Henderson. He makes every play he needs to make. He dinks the jump throws. He makes the leaning throws. He's just a joy to watch, and he does it in the game.
And another big takeaway, too, just from we kind of knew this, but from the first five games of the season, Gunnar Henderson is just playing shortstop.
Yes.
Which is great, because I know he was a very, very good defensive third baseman as well, but he's an outstanding defensive shortstop.
He's just fantastic.
I know Jorge Mateo is going to be there occasionally. We saw Jordan Westberg there for a few innings the other night as well, but Gunnar Henderson's the shortstop on this team.
He's terrific.
And I don't think that Gunnar was impacted at all at the plate by, you know, bouncing between shortstop and third base and thinking about those different things defensively, but I can't imagine it's going to hurt that he just has really one position to worry about.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, he's always seen the kind of guy to me who he doesn't care where he plays.
No, not that he cares.
No, but I wasn't
think there
you
is
said
something
that.
To say that, you know, you just have to worry about one position.
Yeah, that's also true.
You don't have to juggle a whole bunch of things. And I think, as well, that's a credit to the Orioles player development staff down in the minor leagues, where these guys are expected to be versatile. Yeah. I don't think Jordan Westberg is out of his element at all right now.
No,
I agree. We've seen him at second base, third base, shortstop, but that's what he did in the minor leagues, too. Because you had, you know, Joey Ortiz, Connor Norby, guys that also needed reps at shortstop and third base and second base. And so Jordan Westberg was just, hey, I'll play wherever I need to play. And that's what he's doing right now in the big leagues.
Absolutely. And you're right. The player development staff does deserve a lot of credit for that, because they've got plenty of guys ready to play plenty of positions, and they're doing really, really well. And Westberg, how about the walk-off home run? I mean, we haven't talked about that yet. That was incredible. I've said it once, I'll say it a million times, that guy loves the moment. And right before that pitch, you're not going to believe me, but right before that pitch, I was like, I bet you he puts a good swing on this ball.
Well, of course he could.
Because it was a two-strike at bat, or two-strike count. That's his moment. He loves that moment.
Look, I know it's only been 5 games. Can we anoint Jordan Westberg as ball player?
Team ball player?
He's the team ball player.
Last year was Adam Frazier.
Adam Frazier, ball player.
It might be a little early, but I think he might deserve the
crown. Jordan Westberg?
He might deserve the crown.
Ball player.
Yeah, he is a ball player.
Come on. It just really sounds right.
Yeah.
That guy's right, a ball player.
He is a ball player.
He doesn't care what position he plays. He doesn't care where he is in the lineup. He just
wants to be in the lineup.
That's
he
what
just
a ball player playing. Does.
Put me in right, coach. I don't care.
He probably could play right.
He'd probably be great
at it. Ball player, Jordan Westberg.
Yeah, he is.
I've officially anointed it thus far.
Good. I'm glad.
But look, we're 5 games in, and to look at just the Orioles stats for this season, it's not going to give you much information. But there are things to pull from it, which are important. But just through the 5 games so far, the Orioles are 3-2. We have seen hot starts from Adley, from Mountcastle, from Gunnar Henderson, from Jordan Westberg at the plate. I would like to see a little bit more 1-9. I think thus far we saw 24 runs in the first 2 games of the season.
Yeah.
That plays. But then we have seen, the offense has either been here or here.
Last night it wasn't the best for the offense. Alec Marsh kind of had their number. He was very good. But that happens. It's baseball, and, this team will bounce back. They just got to get clicking,
Yeah.
They just have to be, playing with each other and whatnot and playing off of each other. Some guys got to have a great at-bat, and then momentum will start, and it'll all happen.
Sure. I think the biggest takeaway for me with the offense is that they've got to flow 1-9. A little bit more, which is they're just not doing. You're seeing Urias, Hayes, Mullins have struggled a little bit towards the beginning of the season here. Tony Kemp has struggled a little bit, but again, that's not somebody that we're expecting to see.
Tony Kemp doesn't
in the
have
lineup
to have an 800
a ton because they've really got to be picking up this starting rotation right now. The starting rotation has been outstanding.
Yeah.
Thus far, we have seen outings of Corbin Burnes going 6 innings, 1 earned, 11 strikeouts. Grayson Rodriguez, 6 innings, 1 earned, 9 strikeouts. Tyler Wells got hit around a little bit in his first 2 innings, and then James McCann was basically like, yeah, we switched up the pitch mix, and then everything was better. Tyler Wells goes 6 innings, 3 earned, 7 strikeouts. Dean Kramer, not an overwhelmingly great start, gives you 5 1/3, 3 innings, 5 1/3, 3 earned, 5 strikeouts, which, you're not really going to write home about, but it keeps you in the ballgame. Same goes for Cole Irvin. 5 innings, 4 earned. Not an overwhelmingly great start, but
it wasn't
5
his
innings,
best,
4 earned keeps you in the ballgame.
He didn't blow up.
No. I think that's pretty encouraging from the starting rotation thus far.
Yeah. They all kind of did what was expected,
Yeah.
The top 2 guys were dominant, and the other 3 guys kept you in the ballgame. And that's pretty much all you can ask for from anybody.
One final takeaway from me here. Craig Kimbrell's got to hold some runners on. This was an issue for Craig Kimbrell. Yeah. In years past, but somebody gets on base and Craig Kimbrell, as a right-handed pitcher, does not have a great pickoff move. He is not excellent at keeping runners on, and we saw the Royals take advantage. Yes, it was a game that the Orioles won because you had a Jordan Westberg walk-off homer. Craig Kimbrell is a really good pitcher. He's a really good closer. He has been for a very long time. He does not keep runners honest when they are on the base paths, because we saw the Royals have just a little bloop single in the left field, and then they stole second, and then they stole third, and then they were home.
Yeah.
Got to keep runners on. I'm not saying that that is going to be a massive, massive issue. Felix Bautista wasn't great at keeping runners honest a season ago, and it didn't really seem to matter. Craig Kimbrell's not going to put up Felix Bautista type of numbers, and no matter how good the throw is from Adley Rutschman, if you're not keeping runners honest on first base and second base, we could be seeing some scenarios here where somebody gets on, there's a pinch runner, and this thing happens again. They steal second, they steal third. All of a sudden, you're looking at somebody at third base with, no outs or one out, and then it's a tie ball game or it's a one run ball game. So let's keep some runners on there, Craig.
Could also be just an early season thing.
Sure.
You know, working the kinks out and whatnot. But yeah, you're right. That is something that's underratedly important.
Something to keep an eye on.
Yeah,
I think. And sure, if we are looking for takeaways from early on this season, it's not going to be the overall numbers. It's going to be the small little intricacies that you look at and say, hey, that's a thing. We all have lots of things here.
I'm pretty happy with the first five games.
Oh, I think you have to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you tied club records for both runs scored and strikeouts in the first three games of the season, as in pitchers striking guys out, not in your lineup striking out. So, I mean, you have to be happy with that. You're tying club records in two really important categories. And you're 3-2 against, you know, the Angels, who, say what you want about the Angels, but the Royals, I know their record last year. The Royals are going to be a good baseball team.
I think they're going to be a better baseball team for sure.
Oh,
I think they're going to win like 20 more games than they did last year.
Undoubtedly. I think they've got at least 20 more wins in them. A lot of people, including myself, have picked them to win the AL Central. So I think that's a good baseball team there that the Orioles have at least split with thus far. We'll see if they get to play baseball today. We'll hopefully keep our fingers crossed for this rain to go away. It's raining here.
It's raining a lot.
It's raining a lot, but we are going to be hopeful that there is baseball in just a little while here. But that'll just about do it for this week's edition of The Bird's Nest. Make sure you're following along live with us on Facebook and YouTube every Wednesday live at 11 a.m. Or if you didn't catch us now, you can catch us after the fact on Spotify, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts or your digital shows. You can catch us here on The Bird's Nest. Big thank you to Amy Jennings behind the scenes for producing this one. For Matt Bonaparte, I am Brendan Mortensen, and we'll catch you next time.